Wish you happy Sabbath. Welcome to any visitors. We know this time of year, some of our regular family are out and about traveling. I understand they're having a busier travel time this year. That might be because the economy is doing a little better. And also we have some visitors here. I want to welcome you. We know we have some that are watching via Facebook or online. We're glad that you could join the Granite Bay Church family today in your worship service. Our message today is something I've never talked about before, per se. It's called Blessed by Association. Blessed by Association. We're going to be talking about a principle in the Bible that I hope you'll find encouraging, but I think it's certainly easy to support, that you might receive a blessing, or in some cases a cursing, based on how you associate yourself with others. Now, I want to take you to a story that would be familiar for this time of year. In Luke, we're going to talk about Mary briefly and then come back to it. If you read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 28, "And having come in, when the angel came in, he said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Blessed, why? You jump to Luke chapter 1, verse 42. When Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, it says that then Elizabeth speaks out with a loud voice and says, "Blessed are you among women." Repeats the same thing the angel said. "And blessed is the fruit of your womb." You go to verse 45. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." You remember when God told Zechariah, "You're going to have a miracle baby." He didn't think it was true, and he went dumb. He couldn't speak. But when God told Mary, though she had some questions, said, "Be it unto me, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord," she believed. And it says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things that are spoken." And then if you go to Luke 1:46, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed.'" This is proof that Mary believed, because she says this before Jesus is born. She believed the promise of the angel, "And the just will live by faith." Now, I'll be coming back to that before we're done. But I want to talk to you a little bit about blessing by association. I don't know, some of you have probably heard in the news, this large tax package was voted. And no matter what your political thoughts might be, the fact is that a number of corporations just in the last week decided to give $1,000 bonuses. I mean, big corporations, AT&T and Wells Fargo and Bank of America and Comcast and it just they infused millions of dollars into the economy by just giving $1,000 bonuses. Now, that's nice, but you know, I heard about some bosses that were really generous that I read about, gave some, I'd like to be part of their companies. 2015, in Houston, a company gave each of its employees a $100,000 bonus. Hillcorp Energy announced it was doing this because of the six-digit gifts to almost 1,400 workers. The bonuses amounted in total to a company payout of over $100 million they decided to give to the employees because they met their goals. If we meet our goals, we'll give the rest to the employees. Wouldn't that be a nice Christmas present? One year, in 2011, the company gave the employees a choice. They said, "You can either have a $50,000 car or $35,000 in cash." Of course, once you get the $50,000 car, you could only probably sell it for $35,000, so they figured it out. But that'd be a tough decision, huh? Would you like to go work for that company? You think that's good? The CEO and co-founder of a Turkish food delivery company, I'm going to see if I can say this, Yemkipsti, has paid out $27 million to 114 employees after selling the firm for $589 million. Nevat Adyan said to his employees they deserve a benefit from the company that they helped to build. It was bought by a German company called Delivery Hero. The startup was launched 15 years ago. They ended up with 370 employees. Many of them got bonuses worth $237,000 on average. Got a little something for you before you go home for the Christmas vacation. Here's an envelope. $250,000. Sadly, there were some employees that quit and went to another job a few weeks before the company sold. And they got nothing. How do you think they were kicking themselves? Because when they were no longer an employee, because they no longer had that association, they lost the blessing that came to the owner. The Bible says that we can be blessed by association. You read, for instance, a promise that God made to Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord says to Abraham, get out of your country, far from your family and far from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Notice, I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And he goes on to say, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed, because it was through Abraham the Messiah came. Now, in a sense, when you are Christ, the Bible says you are Abraham's seed, and we get blessed by virtue of that association. When the Bible says you're blessed, it doesn't mean you never have any problems. Don't misunderstand what we're talking about. Job was blessed. Matter of fact, most of the people, if you ask him, he said, would you like to be like Job? 90% of people would say, they think of Job, what do they think of? They think of that, you know, 6 weeks of terrible suffering. What they miss out is he lived over 200 years and he was greatly blessed for 200 years. All people notice this is 6 weeks. So if you hear Job, do you say Job was blessed or Job was cursed? By far, blessed. Did Abraham also have challenges? Sure, and you can be blessed of the Lord. Doesn't mean you never suffer. Doesn't mean you don't have any challenges. I'll give you some more examples. But I would want to be connected with Abraham. Isaac was blessed for Abraham's sake. That's what the Bible says, Genesis 26, 24. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. And I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Because you are related to Abraham, the blessing is going to come through you. You are blessed by association. Not only is that true of Isaac, but all the patriarchs. Go down to Jacob. Genesis 28, 14. God said to Jacob, also your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. They will spread across the west and the east and the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed because of their connection with Abraham and then subsequently Isaac. Jacob was going to get a blessing. Now, even after his years living in Haran, Jacob ran away and he went to Mesopotamia. And when he got there, he had nothing. You remember when the Lord spoke to him, he had a pillow for a rock. And he didn't call it my pillow. It was, and he was not very happy. And he came to Laban. He stayed with his father, what turned out to be his father-in-law, and worked for him. And notice, Laban said, there's something different about Jacob. Genesis 30, 27. Laban said, please stay. Jacob said, I'm going to take my wives and go home. Laban said, please stay if I found favor in your eyes. Notice, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Now, if you could figure out who those people out there that are blessed and you associate with them, you could be blessed for their sake. Now, have you ever met a person that is, well, you don't want to say unlucky because I don't believe in luck. But they just seem like they're just, everything's always, it's like they carry a trail of disaster with them. You know what I mean? You ever met anyone like that? I remember I went to school with a guy named, went to military school in New York. For better or worse, the same school Trump went to. And we had a cadet there named James Donnelly. Now, I forgot most of their names, but I could not forget James Donnelly. He was accident prone. You ever met anyone like that? He just was always standing in the wrong place when the truck backed up and knocked him down. I watched him one time. He was catching a fly ball, hard ball. And he had his glove up like this, and the sun was in his eyes, and his mouth was open. And he caught the ball in his mouth. It knocked his front teeth back. He cracked his head in the pool. It's like if there was someone calling for the nurse, James Donnelly. And he was a nice kid. But you didn't want to stay too close to him. Because something was going to happen. He was like accident prone. You ever met anyone like that? Well, I don't know what it was with James, but the Bible talks about some people are blessed and some people are not. You want to associate with those people are blessed. And Laban said, I'm blessed because of you. You read Genesis 30:30. Jacob tells Laban, what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount, and the Lord has blessed you since my coming. Even Jacob knew. You have been blessed by association with me, even though I was the poor son-in-law when I came to you. And then later, Jacob wrestled with the Lord. What did he want? He said, Genesis 32, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the angel said, you'll no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and prevailed. How many of you want to be blessed by God? Now, we talked earlier today about prosperity preaching. That's what we're talking about. There may be some, you know, practical blessings that God gives us, but what's the real blessing that Jacob was wrestling for? Was it wealth? He had that day. He was wrestling to know that his sins were forgiven. He was wrestling to know that he would receive the spiritual promises, and he said, I will not let go unless you bless me. And was he blessed? Do you know how to wrestle with God? Do you spend time in prayer, pleading for the spiritual blessings? I remember reading one time about a British soldier that was caught coming in from out in the woods, and they wondered if he was trying to either desert or if he had been conspiring. It looked like he was sneaking back into camp, maybe conspiring, sharing plans with the enemy, and he was brought to the captain, and they were going to shoot him as a traitor. And he says, I went out to pray. Pray, sure you did. You went out to pray. He says, I like to pray alone in the woods. I like to pray out loud. I needed to get far away where I could pray alone out loud. The captain said, well, you're going to get a chance to prove it before we shoot you. Get on your knees right now and start praying. The young man got down on his knees, and he figured to get shot any moment. He just began to pour out his heart to God, and he just prayed this beautiful, powerful, eloquent prayer. When he got done, he looked up, and the captain said, all right, get out of here. He said, if you hadn't spent so much time in drill, you wouldn't have passed review. He could tell by listening to him pray for his life, he had spent a lot of time in prayer, and he probably was out in the woods praying. So, have you been blessed by association in praying and wrestling with God? Go to Jacob's son, Joseph. This is one of the best examples in the Bible. Joseph went through some really hard times, but he was blessed. I mean, he's blessed with his father, and then his brothers sell him as a slave, but he's blessed in the house of Potiphar. And the Bible tells us, you can read in Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. And how could you say the Lord was with me? I've been sold like a slave. He is with him in his struggles. The Lord was with Joseph, and he made him a successful man. Someone asked a question earlier today, is it wrong to want to be successful? God made Joseph successful. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him. And eventually Potiphar made him overseer of his house. Of all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and that he had all things, how the Lord had blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. He put it in his hands, and everything was blessed. Wouldn't you like to have a lot of work associates like Joseph that are successful and blessed? You ever heard the expression, if you want to get something done, find a busy person? You know, as pastors, we try to evaluate sometimes the spiritual gifts, and we'll have a project, and we say, well, we know this person, whatever they take on, they make it happen. They're one of these people that just seems to have the judgment and the blessing that seems to come together. And then and sometimes you got the other people. So you want to identify the ones that are successful, like Joseph, that are blessed. And it just seems like God is giving them the gift of wisdom and administration. You know, if you want to get shocked, you don't have to grab electric wires. You can simply grab somebody else that is grabbing electric wires, and you will get shocked. You ever done that? You ever rub? How many of you have one of those carpets or places in your house that every time you walk in through the house, you touch someone, you zap each other? And you get shocked. Well, if they're hanging on to another person, they'll get it too. The electricity will pass through you to them. So you want to find those people that have their hand in the hand of God, and you get a hold of them, you'll get the power too. Amen? Later, Joseph is thrown in jail, and the jail is blessed for Joseph. And then Joseph ends up in the palace, and the whole kingdom is saved and blessed by Joseph. Now, Joseph has gone through a lot of trials to get to where he is, but when you look back, Joseph even had to say later to his brothers, I can see now looking back that all this happened to me. Even though you sold me and what you did was a dastardly thing, all this happened to me so that others would be blessed, so much life could be saved. They were blessed by association. Bible says you want to pick your friends carefully because you will be blessed by the friends or cursed that you associate with. It works both ways. Psalm 1, first psalm begins, blessed is the man. You realize first psalm starts with the word blessed. How did Jesus' ministry begin? He opened his mouth and began to teach. What was the first word that came out of Jesus' mouth? Blessed. Must be important to the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. You want to avoid the ungodly, sinners, and scornful. You want to associate with people that honor God, that walk with God, and you'll be blessed. That's basically, it's saying it in the negative, but it's basically saying stay away from these people and you will be blessed. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools is destroyed. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friends. If you want to sharpen a stone, you don't rub it on peanut butter or sharpen a knife. You rub it on iron. You need a rough edge. And if you need people who are going to challenge you, you need friends that are going to be strong in the Lord, and they'll keep you accountable. Iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You need friends that'll tell you the truth. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Pick your friends carefully because depending on who you associate with, it's going to shape who you are. People rub off on each other. You know, you start using the same expressions and idioms and sayings of your friends. And so you have to ask yourself, have I chosen friends that are going to lead me closer to God? You become like them. And you can even be blessed by having good pets. Now, not anyone here would probably say they've chosen a bad pet. But Balaam had a pet that saved his life. You read that? You remember the story of Balaam. He was going down a road that God didn't want him to go down. An angel was in the path, and Balaam is beating the donkey to go forward. Finally, the angel appears, and he says to Balaam, the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would have killed you and let her live. Don't you hope he was nicer to his donkey after that? The donkey had saved his life. Now, I say this because, not that you need to scrutinize your pets more carefully, but God can sometimes use association of very simple means to save us. God sometimes saves us by people that we think are very humble. He turned the world upside down with fishermen. You can read in the story of Elijah. The Bible says that Elijah, when he, at the end of the famine, the creek dried up, and Elijah struggled, but he was blessed because God was with him. And Elijah went and he found this widow up by Zidon, up by Tyre and Zidon. And this is the land of the Phoenicians. And he was instructed that he was supposed to stay with this widow and her family. And they're starving. And he says something outrageous to this widow. She's out gathering sticks with her son so they could build a little fire and cook what they believe is going to be their last meal. And he said, do you have a cup of water? And she said, all right, I'll go get you some water. There was still a little water left in the well. And he said, and while you're going, can you bring me a piece of bread? Bring me a cake. Cake just meant, you know, a tortilla or something. And she stopped and put her hands down. She said, man of God, she said, my son and I are picking up some sticks right now to go cook our last loaf of bread and then die from starvation. And you're wanting us to get you something to eat? He said, yeah, do that. Because thus says the Lord, if you provide something for me, if you step out in faith, he said, God has promised that the bin of flour in your house will not go dry and the cruse of oil will not run out until God sends rain on the earth. She had to make a decision. Does she think this is a crackpot or is this a prophet? She figures, well, what have I got to lose? We got one meal left anyway. So they go and they bake a loaf of bread and they give it to Elijah and they invite him over and he eats. And lo and behold, there was enough for her and her son. And not only that, you read this in 1 Kings 17. Elijah said to her, don't fear, go do as you have said, make me a small cake, bring it to me. For the Lord says, the bin of flour will not be used up and the jar of oil will not run dry until the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. She and her household ate many days, for the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke. Now that means that she was blessed. She and everyone in her household was blessed. Why? Because Elijah was in the house. They were blessed by association. Am I right? Not only that, now being blessed doesn't mean there aren't problems. Her son died. And she said to Elijah, what's with this? Here, I thought I was blessed. My son got sick and died. He prays and the boy is resurrected. So being blessed by God doesn't mean you're not going to go through challenges. You won't be tested. Hezekiah was a king that was blessed. But he nearly died, and he prayed, and God performed a miracle and healed him. So we want to be associated with the right people. And when you go after the ones that God has blessed, you can suffer. You remember when Pharaoh, talking about two different pharaohs here for a moment, Pharaoh, when Abraham came to stay with him during the famine, took Sarah. And the Bible says, everybody in Pharaoh's house was cursed because he had taken Abraham's wife. You're blessed when you bless, and you're cursed when you curse. Later, another Pharaoh began to oppress the descendants of Abraham, and plagues came on his household because he was cursed by persecuting God's people. Blessed or cursed based on association. I think you're getting the point. Not only did this happen with Elijah, but with Elisha, you remember the story of the Shunammite woman. She actually had a family. We don't know her name. It says she was a great woman of Shunam. That's a territory up in the north near Samaria. And Elijah, on his circuit to go around and teach and preach among the schools of the prophets, he would always pass by this Shunammite's house, and they were very gracious people. They knew he was a man of God. Elisha had done several miracles. And they'd stop and say, here, eat with us. And she'd feed him. And then she said to her husband, you know, he always travels by here on his circuit. Let's make a little hotel room for him. Talking about room in the inn. So they built a little room up on the roof of the house. They put a bed in there and they put a little table and a little lamp and made it real cozy. And they said, look, when you're passing by, you've got your own hotel room whenever you come by. She wanted to do something nice for the man of God. And so Elisha and his servant Gehazi, they'd stop there and they were just really grateful. And Elisha said to Gehazi, Gehazi spoke the language of Shunam. He said, ask her, is there something we can do for you? And she said, oh, you know, we're doing well. And Gehazi said, you know, they're older and they have no children yet. Ah, Elisha says, thus says the Lord, before the years go by, Year goes by, you're going to have a son. She says, oh man of God, don't lie to me. And sure enough, before the year went by, they had a baby boy. Everything went great. The boy grew up. They're fine. Elisha stayed there whenever he went, you know, several times a year. He'd stay in the upper room. He'd love to see the boy growing up. And then one day, that boy's out in the field working with his father, and he dies. And the woman just can't understand it. This was a promised child. What's going on? And she runs to Elisha. She has to get on a donkey and ride long ways. And she said, I told you not to lie to me. Here you went and blessed me with a son, and now he's died. And Elisha comes back to her house, he prays, and the boy is resurrected. So blessed people can go through trials, but God did bless her because of her association with Elisha. Not only that, you read the rest of the story, later a famine comes to Samaria. Elisha says to the Shunammite woman, I'm giving you advance notice, the other people don't know, a famine is coming, you need to sell now, get out of town while the prices are high, stay 7 years, come back after the famine. Because of her relationship with Elisha, she got advanced information. Does God, through the prophecies, give us advanced information? And sure enough, not only did she survive during the famine, she came back, and because of her relationship with Elisha, she gets all of her property back. The Bible's filled with stories. We could be here all day talking about the principle of how you are blessed by association with God and His people. Do you know a city can be blessed? A city can be cursed. You remember when God said he was going to destroy Sodom because of its sin? And Abraham begins to intercede and pray for Sodom. And he said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And God said, no. He said, well, how many righteous does there need to be in a city to spare the city? For the rest of those people to be saved, they need to be associated with some people who can still witness and maybe make a difference. And so Abraham says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous in the city, God said, if there's 50 righteous, I will spare the whole city for the sake of 50. Then he says, how about 45? How about 40? 30? Finally gets down to 10. And God said, if there are 10 righteous in Sodom, the whole city will be blessed, saved, for their sake. God couldn't even find 10. We're still not even sure how many he did find. We know Lot was a righteous man. The Bible says so. Hard to imagine. His daughters kind of were blessed because of their father. And I might add at this point, God didn't save Noah's children because they were called righteous. The Bible doesn't say they were all righteous. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so the household was saved in sort of a reciprocal way because of that. Yeah, God can bless a city. Notice this, Jeremiah 29:7. Have you read this? When the children of Israel were carried off to Babylon, later they're carried off by the Assyrians or carried off by the Persians, Jeremiah told them, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. Why would you want to seek the peace of your captors? Jeremiah says, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. I know you might cringe, but you're supposed to pray for politicians. That's what the Bible says. We're supposed to pray for our country, because in its peace, you have peace. We're blessed by association. In its cursing, you have cursing. It all sort of melts together this way. Now, it gets a little closer to home here. Families can be blessed by association. What happens? Will God bless a family if they're cursed and they reject God? No, but what if one member of the family is blessed? Is only that member blessed, or can the whole family be blessed by association of one believer in a family? You want a verse on that? Well, I already mentioned Noah. 1 Corinthians 7:14. Paul is giving counsel to the Corinthian believers because what was happening is there was, many of these pagans heard the preaching of Paul and his associates. Some of them accepted God, the wife would and the husband wouldn't. Or the husband would and the wife wouldn't. They said, look, I got married, we were pagans worshiping these gods. Now you're worshiping this Jewish God. I don't want any part of that. And so they're saying, Paul, should we divorce now because we're worshiping different gods? Paul said, no, no, no. Stay together. If your spouse is willing to stay, stay together. Don't break apart what God has joined together. He says, if the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, meaning the believing wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband or the believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they're holy. In other words, there is a sanctifying influence that flows out of the person that has a connection with God. If you're hanging onto God's hand, remember what we said about electricity? And you get a hold of others and you're interceding for your family, God blesses them through your intercession. Why did God save Lot from Sodom? Do the righteous sometimes die with the wicked? Just look at any war. Sometimes. If a plane goes down, is everybody on the plane bad? Or do sometimes the righteous perish with the wicked? Abraham is interceding for Lot. Lot is saved through the prayers of Abraham for his family member. So if you got a believer in a family, the other family members might be cashing in on that. They're being blessed by association. You still with me? Am I right? I think it's what the Bible teaches. So with all of that in mind, we can be blessed in a city, we can be blessed in a country, we can be blessed in a family. You can be blessed by association with a church. Revelation 2:7, now this is not meaning the churches don't ever suffer persecution, because Jesus said they do. Doesn't mean there won't ever be trials. Doesn't mean there won't even be nations that hate you for your faith, but you will still be blessed. As long as you're blessed by God, isn't that the most important benediction? Revelation 2:7, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. Who gets to eat from that tree? The church. This message is to the church. Revelation 2:11, I'm not going to read all seven blessings. We don't have time, but you read them. Revelation 2:11, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, he will not be hurt by the second death. Well, I don't want to be hurt by the second death. Revelation 3:5-6, he who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. I want those white garments. I want the book of life. I want Jesus to confess my name. I want to eat from the tree of life. Who does that come to? All of this is specifically addressed to the church. By being in the church, you're not saved by having your membership on a rolls, but I'll tell you what, there is a blessing that comes on people who are associated with God's people. When the children of Israel went out of Egypt, you know, they didn't go alone. There were other slaves from other countries that were not children of Abraham in Egypt. They sometimes called them the mixed multitude. And when they saw that the Egyptians had been brought to their knees by the plagues, these other people saw the Israelites leaving for freedom. They said, we're going with you because your God is the real God. And as they went through the wilderness, sometimes the mixed multitude caused them problems, but most of the time as they went through the wilderness, when the water came out of the rock, they got to drink from it because they were with Israel. When the bread came down, they got to eat from that bread. When they were delivered from their enemies, they were delivered. And so all the blessings of the Lord that came on the church in the wilderness came on the others that joined with them. So there's blessings. We're not saved by church membership. But I tell you what, you know, you're more likely to be saved in the church. Because through constant association with those people, it transforms you. Why is it important to have believers and families? Through the association of the believer, the unbeliever is often converted. Through the association of believing parents, the children you pray will be converted. Isn't that the plan? Now, I told you I'd bring it back to Mary. We are blessed for Christ's sake. Mary was blessed when the angel said, a miracle is going to happen. I am going to create a new life in you. And the angel spoke it. I don't think when the angel spoke it, suddenly she felt morning sickness. Said, oh, wow, it must be true. I'm dizzy. I think that when the angel spoke it, she believed the word of the Lord. And then when she believed the word of the Lord, the promise happened. Now, has the Lord promised the same, what does a woman represent in prophecy? Has the Lord promised the same thing, that he will perform a miracle of new life in his people? What is the new covenant? This is as miraculous as it gets. He says, I'll make a new heart in you. I'll put a new mind in you. You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. The story of Christ and the incarnation is really a story of a miracle birth. And you've heard me say before, there are 7 miracle births in the Bible. They're all boys. They're all types of Christ. And they all represent the miracle new birth that you and I get. How did Mary get it? The Word of God said it. She believed it, and it happened. Through association with Christ in her, she was blessed. Now, that didn't mean there weren't problems. Even when they dedicated baby Jesus there in the temple, Simon told Mary, a sword will pierce your own heart. It only lasted 3 days. But she went through some trials. But can you imagine the joy of Mary after the resurrection for the rest of her mortal days, knowing that the boy that she had raised was at the right hand of the Almighty? Did she ever have doubts whether or not God thought about her? Wouldn't you like to know that you got a family member in high places? I don't want you to think I'm, you know, trying to promote some Catholic theology, but just being Mary, knowing that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, did she have any doubts when she prayed that God heard her prayers? From the time of the resurrection on, she knew, just as God promised, this was the Son of God. She was there when the Holy Spirit was poured out. She was there when he ascended to heaven. Is there a reason you and I can't have the same faith and be blessed by association? Has the Lord said that Jesus is our elder brother? That he loves us? And when we come to Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. We get to enjoy the blessings that he's promised. You know, I just see so many examples of this in the Bible. That's why I started with that verse. In those days, 10 men from every country will take the hold of a Jewish man saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And you and I, as spiritual Israel, people are going to want what you have if you have a relationship with Jesus. John 13:20, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives you receives the one I send. And he who receives, Jesus is saying, if they receive you, they receive me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. When people receive us coming in the name of the Lord, they're receiving the Father. You know, I left out one verse. When it talked about Elijah and Elisha staying with those families and being the families being blessed, Matthew 10, Jesus said, Matthew 10:41, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. We are saved by association. And all those promises that God made in the Bible belong to us. Abraham got that blessing. He offered his son, and he was resurrected. People were blessed through Jacob, who wrestled with God, were blessed by Joseph, who fed the world with the bread of life. They're all types of Christ. Elijah, who resurrected a boy, were blessed through Elisha when we have the hospitality of that woman. And then the angel said to Mary, you're blessed because she experienced that new birth within her. We are blessed in the same way by association with Jesus. When we come to Christ, we get that blessing. You know, that's I was very encouraged by that truth. You know, we're going to have an opportunity now to thank God and to worship God in a special way. We only do this once a year at Granite Bay. Typically, we have deacons go through and they receive the offerings. You probably read in the Bible where different kings and priests, there was a place where they brought their offerings, and physically getting up out of their chairs and bringing the offering, they would put it in a box in the temple. It was a sign of worship, bringing our gifts. They would bring their lambs. And so during this time of year, at the end of the service, we're going to be praising God for his goodness to us and returning our gifts. You know, in the back of your chair, some of you may have come in late, you didn't hear the announcement, we sort of have a special year-end envelope, has my year-end gift. It's a place where you can designate your tithes and your offerings to God. As you know, the Granite Bay Church is also involved in a very significant building program. It's exciting to see how things are progressing up on the hill there. And this is going to be, we believe, a lighthouse to the world in the last days. And so you have an opportunity to give. You can be blessed in giving. Are those my words, or did Jesus say it is more blessed to give? And the Lord says, give and it will be given to you. And we're talking about the richest blessings. So we're going to sing our closing hymn. And as we sing, we have some deacons that are going to bring some baskets up front here. We'll have one on my right and one on my left. And the song we're singing now is Angels from the Realms of Glory. I'd like to invite you to stand. It's 119. I believe the words will be on the screen. And just come. We may not all come at once, but some of you, the brave ones, can come first. And we're going to bring our offerings as we sing.